The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to episode 89 of Talking Mopars. Today's episode is part one of the latest Facebook live stream replay from Friday night. I was joined by the motley crew of Mopars, Johnny Mopar, Blake Anderman, and Matt Monroe, and we did as we always do. We had some laughs, told some stories, but most importantly, we talked Mopars. We even had our buddy Irvin stop in and hang out with us for a little bit. It was a good time as always. So without further ado, if you are a Mopar enthusiast and you are in the right place, don't go anywhere. You're tuned into the best Mopar enthusiast-driven podcast on planet Earth. And I am your host, Chris Albrecht, better known as the Mopar Hunter. And this is Talking Mopars, Direct Connections, live.
You're listening to Talking Mopars with the Mopar Hunter, your direct connection to all things Mopar.
Yeah, quick catch up, guys. I won't be able to stay the whole time. I am way behind on work, so
I feel you.
Hang out with my buds for a little while.
Nice. Yeah, this was super last minute anyway. I didn't give you guys enough notice, and I would. It's always tough on Fridays. Like, I feel like it would be better on Saturdays, but then I feel like a jerk taking time away from people's families. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's so good. This time of night, everybody in my house is in bed.
Look at the DIY Hemi office. That thing is. Oh, hey. Hey, look at that. Wow. I'm assuming there's coffee in that mug, Blake.
Yeah, it's got to be coffee this time. Last time I fell asleep on you guys.
I dozed off.
Well, for me and Matt, it's just a little bit difficult, you know. We're dad-bodding it over here, and then it's like we hit that midnight, 1 a.m. We're like,
oh yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys. I'll have to move to Texas or something, and we can ease the pain and suffering.
Let's do it. Move on over.
I know. I don't know what Johnny's excuse is. He's not here. He's not falling asleep. What's going on? Johnny, where are you at? Well, we are live once again, folks. Another edition of Talking Mopars, Direct Connections live with the motley crew of Mopars. Just here on a Friday night, just shooting the you-know-what. You know what I mean?
What is the you-know-what?
The you-know-what is Mopars. You know what I mean?
There you go.
I have to be careful when I... So YouTube has been booting all my videos because of my intro. So now I have to edit my intro out of the videos, which is being a pain. But
why?
It's the music. I'm having issues. Yeah, I'm having issues with the music, and I have full rights to it. So I don't know what the problem is, and YouTube won't reply to my emails. So I'm debating on how to go about doing it. But you know, it is what it is. What time is it? We're 2 minutes in. See, we got a bunch of people showing up. Let's go ahead and launch this thing. If you are a Mopar enthusiast, then you are in the right place. Don't go anywhere. You're tuned into the best Mopar enthusiast-driven podcast on planet Earth. I am your host, Chris Albrecht. That's Matt Monroe. And that is Blake Anderman. And this is Talking Mopars, Direct Connections, live. Gentlemen, we are back. Oh, I see Tad's in the chat. David's in the chat. Tyler, what's up, buddy? Tad, I will be posting a link in the comments here in just a little bit. I want to make sure that my connection's good because I've had internet problems all day. Richard, we already got questions. All right. In your opinion, what's the best front shocks for an A-body street machine? An A-body street machine. If you're going period correct, I've seen on eBay factory Mopar shocks So they're blue and they have the Mopar, the old school Mopar logo on them. I think that would be pretty cool. All the shocks on all my Mopars have been blown out. So that's a great question. What do you got running on the duster, Matt?
I'm actually be running KYBs on the front.
Okay.
And then I haven't really decided what I'm going to do in the back yet.
That's what I run, KYBs.
Yeah.
I mean, they're good. They have a lifetime warranty, and you can pick them up at just about any parts store.
Yeah.
Are those fully adjustable or no?
No.
Okay.
Well, some of them can be, but the ones I'm running aren't.
Yeah. Let's define street machine then, right?
Yeah,
that's pretty broad. I mean, are we looking for something like some people would see like a pro touring car, like a street car, or some people think like old school pro street, maybe like a car set up for drag, just old school muscle. I think that really depends, right?
Yeah, every time I hear the word street machine, I imagine hijackers in the back. You know what I mean? That's what when I think street machine, that's what I think. So, I mean, I guess it really depends, like Blake said, on what your setup's going to be. You know what I mean?
Well, it looks like it's a 65 Valiant with a 360 Police Interceptor and Sure Grip.
Okay.
Okay.
So, yeah, we're talking drag. I would say, yeah, do like just some standard KYBs and do like just old six cylinder torsion bars, like, you know, something. The front torsion bars where it's pretty soft, so you get good weight transfer to the rear, and then your shock, you want something with a little bit stiffer compression, so that way, like, as it's coming down, it's, you know, it's slow on compression, but, you know, rebounds a little bit looser. So I mean, just like some base KYBs really should be good.
Yeah, shouldn't be anything too crazy.
Yeah.
And Big Block, those aren't too expensive, are they?
No, you would know, they're right? Really not bad. I try to spend little where I need to and then spend a lot where I want to.
Oh, no, you're talking to the king of cheap right here, okay? Oh, man. I hope that answered your question, Richard. If it didn't, feel free to ask some more. Mark, what's up, buddy? Roy, what's up? Bud Mac is in the house, but I'll be posting a link to the chat here in just a few minutes. Harold, waving from Wisconsin, what's up? David, Kyle, what's up, buddy? Chris says anything works. That's for you, Richard. I suppose. I mean, depending on how crazy. If this is a street car, I mean, just throw whatever you got to throw in there that's not the factory worn out stuff, right?
Yeah,
that's right.
Tyler says Gabriel hijackers. Yeah, for the rear. My dad hates air shocks. He told me this story about he was on I-5 racing a Lincoln and an old Stingray, and his Dart had air shocks, and he said at 125 miles an hour the thing got scary. I was like, yeah. He says they just bounce all over the road. Because every time I told him I wanted to put air shocks on all my Mopars, he's like, I don't know. And then he told me that story. And I was like, Dad, I'm not going to be driving around 120. Back in the 70s, you could probably get away with that. Nowadays, no, you got the birds in the sky and cops everywhere.
Yeah.
But that's why I guess I should announce right now that I have partnered with a company that sells radar detectors. But I'm waiting on a sample product so I can test it out. So I'll be rolling out some information on the three different companies that I've partnered with, because it's been a long time coming and it's about time. But I'm pretty excited. I think it's all cool stuff, because like I've said this before, you know, you're not going to see boner pills on Talking Mopars. You're not going to see, you know, mattresses or anything like that. I want it to be all automotive related products. So that's what we're aiming for. And I think I've locked in a couple good ones, but like I said, I gotta test the products first. You know what I mean? I can't be pushing a radar detector if it's gonna still get me tickets. You know. Do either of you guys run radar detectors?
I don't, but yeah. I mean,
not anymore.
Yeah,
they're kind of few and far between around here. You can spot them sitting a ways off.
Yeah. See, around here they're sneaky.
Really? I just ways, man. I'm a ways. I just, even if I know where I'm going, you just put it on and you get the notification as you're going down the road, especially if I'm on a road trip going, you know, longer distances. That has saved my bacon a million times.
Well, with me being from Arkansas, I want to do the Bandit Run really bad. Do it in the duster.
Is that like the Cannonball Run or something?
Well, it's like the run from Smoking to Bandit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Like the legitimate Bandit Run. Okay.
Yeah. I want to do the Bandit Run.
That would be badass.
That would be cool. Well, it goes down to Atlanta?
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Like, I need to look up the mapping. I had it all mapped out once because you got to use some of the old roads because they've updated the highway system since then. But obviously, but yeah, because he passed through Fayetteville, which is like 45 minutes from me at one point. So I got to figure it out, map it back out. But yeah, I want to make the Bandit Run.
That's cool.
That sounds like good YouTube content.
Oh, yeah.
I've read about it in the past, but I knew it was still going on. But I guess maybe the coverage of it hasn't been as much as it has been in previous years.
I think a lot of guys started actually getting into trouble for posting the – yeah, Atlanta, Texarkana. Thank you, Richard Scott. They were actually getting tickets post-event because they were posting their speeds and everything.
Oh, wow.
Is one thing I heard, but I don't know how factual that could be. But I'm going to do my homework on it. But yeah, I want to do the Bandit Run really bad.
That would be very badass.
That would be cool.
Let's all get together and do it.
Absolutely. Who wants to be snowman?
I have a CDL. I will find a truck and we will make this happen. I need to find a load of beer though. So we'll figure that one out. Johnny Mopar is in the house.
What?
Johnny Mopar. Hey, what's Johnny. Up, buddy?
What's up, guys?
What's up? What's up, man?
I know. I was lagging. I figured Chris will probably never – he won't start for another 20 minutes. So
I'm late all the time.
Exactly.
Oh, gosh.
I just decided to be late the one time you're on time.
Let's run through this chat really quick, and then we'll get updated on everybody's projects and all the fun stuff going on behind the scenes. So I think we got Richard his answer. Bud says he probably can't join, but he'll listen and watch for a bit. That's fine, Bud. If you change your mind, the link will be in the chat here shortly. Stevie, Mopar all the way. I actually work with Stevie. What's up, buddy? He's got a nice Dodge Ram. David, working on the car tonight. Cool. Listening to Talking Mopars. I like it. Kyle, who is a local friend of mine, says the rear cross member isn't meant to support the weight of the car by air shocks. Fuck it. I'm more of a flash instead of function guy, which is awful, but that's all right. Mark, another local friend of mine, no boner pills. Sorry, buddy. No, unless they're willing to send me a pallet of them to try out, then maybe we'll talk. But for now, no. Harold says the Escort Max 360 mirror mounted here. It's funny that you say Escort because that may be the company. I don't know. I'll let you guys know as soon as I get one and test it out. But Harold, if you can let us know how you like the Escort Max 360, that would be great. I will use that in future discussions. M. St. George says, what's up, guys? Stockish wiring harness opinions for 69 Dart. Side road. Oh, that's side road. What's up, buddy? Stockish wiring harness options. I used in my blue 76 Dodge truck, the D100, on air ride, I got a quick wire wire kit for it. And it was really easy. It came with idiot directions for someone like me. I also had a colored wiring diagram, so that really helped. But painless, I've heard, is good. I mean, take your pick. I've heard Ron Francis is really good for Mopar stuff. I've heard that. But yeah. Blake's really the guy to ask about wiring stuff. So I mean,
M&H. It just depends. You know, if you want factory, this most simplistic, just plug it in and go, and it's pretty much identical to factory. M&H makes a really good product. The most common place people buy them from is Year One. But a little bit of advice I've learned from like the A-Body forums and the E-Body forums is go go to year one around the holidays because they have a huge sale. It's like, I think it's 40% off on those harnesses. So you really get a good deal on them. But if you want something for like, you know, extra circuits, you're adding stereos, power windows and all that stuff, then I would definitely look into like the painless and stuff. You know, some of the more modern harnesses, they're designed for a little bit more amperage.
Yeah, and they do have basic kits, so you can get like a cheaper basic one if you don't want to run all the extra add-ons and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Chris says, any advice for a 73 340 block looking to do later cylinder heads from a 69 to 71 340 or aluminum heads? What do you guys recommend? I mean, I would say aluminum because have you seen the prices of X heads? They're crazy.
Yeah.
At that point, you might as well just go aluminum.
Yeah, I mean, they're so cheap. I mean, to take a stock set of heads and have them gone through, I mean, you're going to be like around 800, 900, maybe even $1,000. Mm. And it's like, you're at least halfway there for a set of aluminum heads that are going to already flow a lot better than cast iron heads.
Yeah.
So yeah,
I would just go straight to aluminum. Unless you're doing like a restoration type build, then I would put cast iron X heads or something like that, you know.
One of my buddies did something really cool. He got a 71 CUDA in Winchester gray, and I think it had a 383 in it. I could be wrong, but he put aluminum heads on it, but he wanted it to look factory. So he got these aluminum heads and just painted them. And when you look at the engine, it's like, oh, that it looks pretty factory. But, you know, if you're a detail person, you could see, oh, those are aftermarket cylinder heads. I thought it was pretty cool. But Trickflow has some heads. They've been out for a while for small block Mopars. Mm-hmm. I heard those are really good, but I have no experience with aftermarket aluminum heads for any of mine as of right now. Bud Mac got your stickers, Johnny.
Yeah,
and I did too. That. I did too.
Right.
I'm debating. I've been meaning to say that. I'm debating on where to put them. Like, I wish the van was on the road. I really want to sticker the hell out of that van. I have some pretty funny ones right now. Yeah, yeah. It's got a giant back window, so
there you go.
There's enough room for my certified shitbox sticker that I got. I got one of those. That'll be fun.
On a brown van?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. It's the shitbox.
Appropriate. It's appropriate.
Very appropriate.
It's my term of endearment for that thing. Derek, happy Friday, buddy. Kevin, happy how many Friday. How many Mopars have you folks owned? You might want to ask Johnny Mopar that question. I mean,
we don't have all night.
I have no idea. I have no idea. I did start writing them down one time. If I had to guess, I'd say 50-ish. There's a guy at work that actually – he's a Chevy guy, and he's gone through a ton of Chevys, and he's over 100. He's had over 100. He's a little older than me, so he's had more time. But, yeah, I've had a lot. Maybe someday I'll sit down and write them all down if I can remember them all.
That would be amazing.
Wow. Right?
I've had a handful. I wish I had more money. I would have more.
That's why you got to start back in the 90s when they were cheap. And you could buy a whole bunch of them.
I wish. I tried to get my dad to buy Mopars back then, but he just wasn't into it. I don't know. So, Dad, if you're ever listening, you blew it. Every time I talk to my dad, because my dad's actually been coming over. I think he likes working on the boogie van because he built his van. So he's like reliving his youth, and he's telling me every time he comes over, he's like, man, I should have never sold the Dart. And then like 2 minutes later, he's like, I should have never sold my van. And then he's like, I should have never sold my Daytona. And I'm like, yeah, well, you know, so now I'm trying to make up for lost time. You know, I had the Dart, got old, got the van. I'm really digging this van, dudes. I like this van. It's almost sickening how much I enjoy working on this van.
That's cool.
Did you happen to see all the pictures I posted on Facebook from the Inland Mopars car show?
Did you post some vans?
There was a van in there. This
I have
guy,
to look again.
Who was at least my age, maybe older, who said that his dad bought the van when bought it original, like he was the original owner on it. And when he was a kid, he helped his dad build the van. And the thing was just totally decked out, had murals on the side of like, you know, deers in the forest type of thing, you know. I mean, it was like way over the top, but it was cool. It's still rolling and it looked mint. I mean, it was in great condition. Yeah, it's been garaged its whole life. It's kind of, it's trippy that somebody actually bought a van and like kept it and took care of it, like if it was a super bird or something, you know, this whole time. God. So,
see, that's bad. That's cool. My dad's that type of. He buys stuff and never drives the shit. So had he had he kept his Mopars, they'd probably be in the garage just collecting dust. So unfortunately, that's not the case. Mine is a pile of shit. I would be the first to admit that. But it's my pile of shit and it's paid for. And actually, the title is right over here. So nice. I'm very proud of that. gosh, what did we miss? These chats, the problem with these chats is they roll so fast.
Yeah, I was trying to catch up on. I'll let you go through it then instead of me trying I'm to almost through it.
I always feel bad because I feel like at the very end, through them really quick, and I want to kind of, you know, yeah, not that much early. Pressure on. Yeah, just a little bit. Harold, my Escort Max 360 works great. However, if you're hit with laser, you're screwed. K and KA bands, great warning time. Okay, yeah. See, I've heard about the lasers. I've heard with lasers, they just sit there and then it's click, you're done. So you have no idea that it's going to hit you.
around here, there are a lot of lasers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a tough one. Around here, they get a little tricky. They have sneaker cars, so they have unmarked police cars. I've seen them in a Volvo. I was like, what the hell is this? I saw a Volvo pull someone over. They get creative over here. It's nuts. But they also like to hide on ramps. So like on bikes, like they'll sit on their motorcycle and wait for people to fly past, and then they're on the on-ramp. So they'll just get on it, get after them. So radar detectors are good for like long highway runs, I think, but in the city, it gets a little sketchy, but we'll find out. I'm going to get one in my hands. I'm going to try to convince them to send me the best one they got, and we're going to put it to the test.
Nice.
Kevin says,
Huh? Go ahead. Go ahead.
Kevin says he's owned 48 and never owned anything but Mopar. Awesome, dude. Nice. How many do you own now? That's the real trick. I hate hearing stories about the ones that get away because it makes me feel bad. I get anxiety. I'm like, oh God, you know, especially with the crazy ones, like, you know, the stories about people with super birds and things like that they let get away. It's like, oh, and they're like, oh, I sold it for $4,000 or $5,000.
Oh, so I think I've told you guys, I started a new position at my work, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guess who's in that new group?
The Superbird guy.
The Superbird guy. And he's been pretty chummy. He's been coming around lately and talking.
Really?
But it's looking like he is not going to be a seller. He's actually talking about, he was asking me if I knew anybody that could fix the nose on it because it has some damage to it. And he showed me pictures of it off the car. And I'm like, yeah, I got a couple of people that could probably fix it with no issue, you know. And then he was talking about the motor and he was like, yeah, I was thinking about putting a Hemi in it and stuff. And I'm like, man, if you have money to buy a Hemi, then you're probably going to want way more than I can afford for this car. So I think it's off the table, guys. But
has he talked money, Johnny? I mean,
he has not, but okay. I've told him like, hey, I'm doing this YouTube channel thing, you know, let me come over and film the car and stuff. And he was kind of like, he's like, yeah, that sounds cool. And then I said, what are you doing this weekend? And he goes, I can't do it this weekend. And like, he knew, I didn't even mention the car, but I just asked, what are you doing this weekend? He knew where I was going. And he's like, no, I got a whole bunch of stuff on the car. And there's like Christmas stuff laying on the car. He's like, people will probably get mad. And I'm like,
yeah.
So what, dude? It's like a barn find, you know? It's in a garage. It'll be a garage find. But it's like, who cares? I think people like that kind of stuff. They like seeing a car like that, a bunch of junk on it.
All this over there, if I could point right. Yeah. I can relate with that guy.
Yeah, see that guy? Or what corner I am in your view. But
yeah, it's like throwing me off. I'm like,
Johnny, I have an idea for you. Monday morning, you go in there. You go, hey man, I talked to my buddy. I was talking to him about the nose cone on the Superbird. He said he'd fix it no problem at all. 50,000, it'll be perfect. And I also got a guy that has a Hemi, 75 grand. You'll have that thing on the road in no time. And then he's going to be like, oh shit. And then you'll be like, or you can just sell it to me for like $500 and we can just be over it. You know?
Yeah. I don't think that's going to work.
I don't think maybe, so either.
Maybe 20 years ago it might have, but I don't know. Even 20 years ago when I first heard about the car and first knew him,
Gosh.
Even then, he was not, he didn't want to sell it. He was going to fix it up. But here we are 20 years later.
Wow.
Nothing's happened, you know? Yeah.
Some people may, I mean, how deep into Mopars is he? Does he know how much it would cost to get that car on the road? You know what I mean?
I think he knows it's going to cost some coin, and I think that's why he won't do it. He's a little eccentric. He's just a little off. He's like, he's an engineer type of guy, right? Which totally makes sense. When you go back to the 70s, early 70s, it's like, who's the kind of guy that's going to buy a Superbird? Like, all the cool guys were like, no, fuck that. That thing is looks ridiculous, right? Mm. They're buying like A12 cars and, right? They're buying all this bitching cars. That car is a little off in left field. But the engineer type of guy, the guy's like, man, look at the aerodynamics of that car. This thing can go 200 miles an hour, blah, blah, blah. This is the kind of guy that would buy that car. And he's had it. He said what did he have it up to? 180 miles an hour or some shit like that is what he was telling me. And he's done some crazy stuff in this car. He bought it, I think he said he bought it in 76 or 78, somewhere in there. So the car has already gone through, I think he bought it from the original owner, but I'm not sure. But when he bought the car, I don't know what he paid for it, but it was probably nothing. I mean, he's told me about doing donuts in the car, and he's like, yeah, me and a buddy were getting on this on-ramp where it kind of curved down, and we're hauling ass. He's hauling so much ass that his buddy like slid over in the seat and like ran into him, right? I mean, I don't know how fast he's going, but he was basically like racing a Corvette getting on the freeway, and he said by the time he got down on the freeway and was looking back, it was like, where'd the Corvette go? It's gone. Just wasted it, you know?
Oh,
that's cool.
So, yeah, he beat on this thing. He beat on it like it was a car. He didn't – I mean, it wasn't worth anything when he got it, and he was thrashing on it. But, you know, it's pretty cool.
It blows my mind to think that in 1970 they had a hard time selling those things. In 71, there were some brand new ones still on the lot, so much so that they were starting to take the nose cone and wings off the cars.
That
blows my mind, because I'm the asshole that would have been like, hey, how much for the one with the wing in the back row? Like, come on, man, give me the most obnoxious one you got.
there's a website, and I think it's I don't know if it's called Cars and Barns or something like that. I haven't gone on it in of quite a few years, but on there was a white Superbird, and it had a Roadrunner 70 Roadrunner nose on the car, and the wing was gone on this thing, and you could tell it's all original. You know, the car is like unmolested, stock original, and on the A pillars, it's got the chrome pieces, those chrome covers on it, and then the back window, it's got the plug in it, and the window is more, you know, smooth. It's not the typical Roadrunner, like the W window, you know? So you could tell this car was a Superbird, but if you just glance at the car, you never know. Just looks like another Roadrunner, you know? Mm-hmm. But it was like in the flesh. And I'm sure that was a dealership that did that. I'm sure it wasn't, because the pictures looked like, you know, maybe 80s or 90s, like it happened a long time ago. Like this car was documented, you know, just sitting somewhere. Somebody took pictures of it. Somebody had them and posted them, you know.
That's insane.
Freaking way cool.
These days we're trying to clone
like that. Right? I mean, if you own that car, what would you do? Would you go full Superbird, or would you leave it looking like a Roadrunner that, you know, a Superbird that got turned into a Roadrunner? Because that's an interesting story to tell at a car show, right?
Yeah.
If it was just a Superbird, everybody go like, yeah, so what? There's five of them here.
Oh, gosh. That's a tough one. That would hurt my feelings if I went to go look at a 70 Roadrunner. And I'm like, wait a second, this used to be a Superbird. But then I, you know, obviously try to figure out how much the guy wanted for it. But that is, it just blows my mind that in today's market, we're trying to convert Satellites and Belvederes, you know, to Superbirds. Yeah. Back then, they're like, hey, get rid of this stupid nose cone and this ugly ass wing. Get rid of it.
I read an article a while back. This was probably several years ago, about a wing car at a dealership that same store, they could not get rid of it. I think it was a red car. I'm not sure. Or in one of the racier colors, you know? And the story went along the lines of they had the car, they couldn't sell it, So they basically shoved it off like in a corner. I think it might have been like on the second floor of the dealership building. Somehow they shoved this car off in the corner and they forgot about it for years.
Was it a Charger? 66 Charger?
No, I am not certain. I thought it was a wing car. And like they,
I mean,
it was like years later, they were like, oh yeah, that's still back here. And it was never titled, literally in the back of the dealership.
Okay, well, now there's a similar story like that in Mopar Collector's Guide a long time ago, and it was a 66 Charger, and this lady went in there, she wanted a 426 Hemi. It was the first year they put street Hemis in cars, right? All the previous ones were race cars, and she's like, I want a Hemi, and the salesman is like, no, you don't want a Hemi because they're temperamental, all these problems. Yeah. Like you want a 383 car, you know? And she's like, nope.
Do we lose Johnny?
I think we lost him.
My connection's going out, I've noticed. Johnny, are you there, Johnny? Or is he cliffhanging up on purpose? He's like, yeah, and then the okay. Johnny, come back, dude. There you have it, my friends. Another episode of Talking Mopars Direct Connections Live is in the books. That was part one. Few more parts to go. We started having some technical difficulties, so I thought it would be a decent spot to cut off and get back to you guys next week. So for everything you need to know about the podcast, please visit TalkingMopars.com. And don't forget that you can send me your Mopar stories, questions, comments, concerns, complaints, and everything else on your Mopar addicted mind to Chris@TalkingMopars.com. Or you can leave me a voicemail on my voicemail box at 209-28-MOPAR, and I will play your message on the show. Also, if you enjoy this show and you would like to show your support, there are a couple ways you can do it. One way is by picking up some Talking Mopars merchandise at the Talking Mopars merch shop, which you can find on TalkingMopars.com, or by becoming a supporter through my Facebook page. Find me on social media by searching for @TalkingMoparsPodcast, and be sure to subscribe to my new YouTube channel by searching for Talking Mopars Podcast. That's it, my friends. Until we talk again, I am your host, Chris Albrecht, and that was Talking Mopars Direct Connections Live.
Thank you for listening to Talking Mopars, your direct connection to all things Mopar. Until next time, remember, no Mopar left behind.